Thank you, Dan. And I do apologize for forgetting our rule of picking someone to be in charge as a minister. I don't really have anything new. Maybe the way I might present it might be a little bit different. I'm not sure. If you know me, you know that I like photography. It's to me, it's therapy. It helps me focus in on something, and I can put everything else out, if that makes any sense. I don't know if anybody has a hobby that they do that they love that they can concentrate on, which helps them to keep sane, I guess. So I was thinking on terms, and I hope the terminologies that I might use might make some sense, because when you're first learning about photography, you find out that everything's about light. How you manipulate light, what it bounces off of, everything's about light. You have this thing that's called an aperture that's in your that's in your camera and your lens, and you can either squeeze it down or open it up depending on how much light you want to come in through the lens. You've got what's called ISO, and it's some type of standard that I have forgotten what ISO stands for, but what it basically is its sensitivity to if you're using film, you might have an ISO of 100 or 400, depending how sensitive to light you wanted it. Well, in this day and age, it's more or less your sensor that's in there. And you can lower it down that it is not as sensitive to light, or you can pump it up to where it's real sensitive to light. And then you have what's called shutter speed. And depending on how fast you want that to open and close, depends on how much light comes in. And it's all about light. So what's that got to do with what I'm going to talk about? John 8. John 8 and 12, and this is Jesus, and he's speaking, and he says, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. Jesus is that light that we're supposed to focus on, that we're supposed to bring in as much of it as we can, spiritually speaking. Because he says that he is the light of the world. And he doesn't want us to have darkness. And if it's dark out and you're trying to take pictures, you have to use what's called the long shutter speed. And you have to have that thing open longer to bring in more light. So your picture will show up. And you have to concentrate more, because it shows up all the little shakes and shimmers if you don't have it on a tripod. Same thing with our life, I believe, that if we have darkness in our life, if we have darkness that we fight with, if we don't follow the commandments that have been set forth in the Bible and Book of Mormon, the things that we have that are our rule book for life, which has been talked about lately, if we don't follow those and we don't, darkness is an absence of light. Because if you have darkness, you can pierce the darkness with light. But if you have light, try to pierce light with darkness. Can't be done, because darkness is the absence of light. So if we're not taking in Christ as we should and learning of Christ, if we're not letting his light shine within us to try to keep out that darkness through following his commandments and such, then we're in a bad way. We're not going to have a real good picture of our eternity, you might say. So when Jesus says that he is the light of the world, I kind of see it as he's piercing through the darkness that's there, because Satan has been cast down to the earth with these angels. And the natural man is an enemy to God, and we need to focus on Christ. Talk about that in a little bit. Page 640 of the Book of Mormon. This might not be real long, but that's okay. This is what I've been given, and this is where I'm going with it. So page 640 in the Book of Mormon. It would be 3 Nephi, 5th chapter. I'm only going to read a couple of verses. It'd be starting at verse 113. It says here, "The light of the body is the eye. If therefore in thine eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. But if thine eye be evil, thy whole body shall be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in thee be darkness, how great is that darkness." What I'd like to focus on, though, is if our eye is the... If our eye is the light of the body, spiritually speaking, and that light comes into us, our eye needs to be singularly focused on that light which Jesus says that he is. Because he says that he is the light of the body. And we need to be singularly focused on that light which is Jesus Christ. Because there's so many things, there's so many distractions that at least I have in my life that pull me away, and they get me focused on something over here, and then it's something over here, and then it's what's happening at work, or what do I got to do tomorrow, or Facebook. You know, shut the thing off. You know, it's a deal. I got to physically shut that off. I have to remind myself that I need to focus on what really matters in life. And what really comes down to mattering in life is eternity. And it really matters as focusing on Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Because if we don't have that light in us, then darkness is going to be there. Because something has to fill that void that's there. If the light goes, darkness is going to come in. Actually, it's absence of light, but it's still going to be darkness. So we need to remember that we need to study the scriptures and know what God's word says. We need to, speaking of the rally, that we need to know it so we can be closer to Christ, so we can be closer to God. Because if we don't know what he is, if we don't know what he's about, if we don't understand why we have commandments to follow, then we don't know, then we really don't know what God's about. And we really don't understand why Christ came if we can't understand those things. Am I making sense? Because everybody's just staring at me. Okay, thank you. Luke 11. Basically the same thing. Luke 11, and I'll start with verse 33. And it's Jesus speaking again here. And he says, "No man, when he hath lighted a candle, putteth in a secret place, neither under a bushel, but on a candlestick, that they which come in may see the light. The light of the body is the eye. Therefore, when thine eye is single, thy whole body is full of light. But when thine eye is evil, thy body is full of darkness. Take heed, therefore, that the light which is in thee be not darkness. If thy whole body, therefore, be full of light, having no part dark, the whole shall be full of light, as when the bright shining of a candle doth give thee light." And when we absorb all that light in as Christ, That's the light that we're supposed to give off to others, like the candlestick. You know, you don't hide it underneath something. I mean, why would you do that? Because then the light's not shining out, and it's not of any worth. So why even light the candle? But it does shine out, because if you light something, you want to be able to see it. And that's what we're asked to give off from us, is the light of Jesus Christ. And talk about the gospel. But we have to have it in us first. We have to have... we have to have our ISO bumped up enough and our shutter running long enough and our aperture open all the way up in our minds, speaking of cameras, that it lets all the light in that God wants to give us. That it can just fill us all up to where there's no absence of it. Because when you do that, it says here that there's not evil there. Because if you go by the definition that I used for that darkness is the absence of light, evil is the absence of goodness. I've heard Donnie talk about it, not only him, but I've heard others talk about it too, that they define evil as the absence of good. So if we understand the scriptures and know what the commandments are, know what's expected of us, then we can shine off that light. You know, I'm thinking that, you know, when things are so full of light sometimes that you just can't keep it in, no matter if you put whatever you put over it. It's just so bright that it's just going to shine through every crack that's ever out there. If you put a basket over it, it's going to find those holes and cracks and shine out. That's what we should be like. I'm not there. I know I'm not. But it gives me something to hope for. It gives me a... I have a lot of room to learn. So I hope God's merciful with me and guides me. And hopefully that I'm smart enough to understand the lessons that he wants me to learn. Because sometimes I have to say, I just shake my head. I don't understand, Lord. I just don't understand. But then sooner or later, when I keep after it enough in prayer, somebody either explains it to me or all of a sudden something happens or I'm reading a scripture and it's like the light goes off. And it's like, it's the coolest thing to experience. If I know you've had it happen. But Christ is the light that we have to let into us. I mean, we can shut it off if we want, but then we're miserable. I can't imagine living in a place in the northern parts or the southern parts of our globe we call Earth and it's dark for a long periods of time. You know, people get really depressed when it's really dark because they don't have enough light to keep them going. They don't have enough light that they can take in and they get down and they get depressed. I just can't imagine. I'm thinking here that must be what it would be like to be in more darkness than having more light within you. Because, you know, I haven't always lived a light life. you might say. You know, and I look back and I know that I'm only here by the grace of God. There's no doubt in my mind about that. And I know we're not supposed to focus on certain things, and I don't focus on it, but I remember feeling real bad when I lived a certain lifestyle. And then I did more of the bad things to help me to feel good. And all it did was make me feel worse. And it's a cycle that you get into. Well, if I do this, and I'll feel better. And when you do that, it makes you feel bad. Well, then I'll try something else, and it'll make me feel better. And it makes you feel bad. Darkness just makes you feel bad. I didn't know I was going to go here tonight. But anyway, when you decide to open that door that he's standing there at, and you finally open it up, and he's there, and you find out that he loves you, and you find out that that light starts coming in spiritually into your life, and it feels good. I don't know how to explain it. When you're baptized and you truly go into the waters in the way that we're supposed to, with no deceit and stuff, and you come up out of those waters, and you're clean, and it feels good, and the darkness isn't in you at that point. If you've ever felt it, you know what I'm talking about. That you just feel the warmth of the light that is given to you by Christ. And so we need to let it in. But, you know, you're the one that has to do that. Christ isn't going to force his way in. He's not going to knock down your door. He's just standing there knocking, waiting. I forgot where I was. Page 644 of the Book of Mormon. Third Nephi, 7th chapter, couple verses, 10 and 11. This is Christ speaking again to the people on this continent, and he says, "Behold, I am the law and the light. Look unto me and endure to the end, and ye shall live. For unto him that endureth to the end will I give eternal life." Talks about that he's the light again. He's the law, but he's also the light. And he also is explaining to them that he's the ends of the law, of the Mosaic law of sacrifices and stuff. I'm not going to go into that. But he says that he is the light. And he says, Jesus says, "Look unto me." You know, there's another thing in photography that's called focus. And I'm working on focus right now because my eyes aren't as good as they should be anymore. And something that I think's in focus, I'm really proud of it until I put it on a big screen. And it's out of focus. The lower extremity of an animal might be in focus because that's where I was. Didn't think I was focusing, but you're supposed to focus on the eye. And it's not quite in focus. And being a person that I am that has just a touch of OCD, it drives me nuts. And it should. Just like if I don't focus on Christ, if I don't look unto Christ like he says, "Look unto me and endure to the end." You know, it's just not for a little bit. It talks about what kind of soil we are in the scriptures. You know, we might be there for a little bit, but then when things get rough, because we're told right up front, things are going to be rough if you follow me. You know, his burden is light. His yoke is light. Because that's taking him upon us, and that's pretty easy to do, really. But then we have to run the long race. We have to do that, endure to the end, and stay focused on Christ. Because I'll never make it to the end if I'm not focused on Jesus Christ and what he stands for, who he is, and the commandments that I have to follow, because I'll fade away. I can tell you right now I'll do it, because sometimes I start fading away. And then I catch myself, it's like, "You're going there, Mark. You better get back on the path and grab a hold of that rod of iron," which we have, the Bible and Book of Mormon, and get into it and get back on track. You know, you've got, in this new day and age of digital cameras, digital photography, you've got what's called autofocus. And it has its place. My camera, anyway, when you look through it, you push the little shutter button down halfway, these little red dots come up, and it's autofocusing on everything that's in there. Well, I got away from all of those, and I have one. Because on autofocus, if you have all those focal points, your camera's is focusing in on all of those, which is great, unless you're shooting through brush and you want to focus in on what's behind it, because that camera's not going to do it, because it's grabbing all of the distractions that are in front of it. Kind of like our life sometimes. We have all these distractions out there, and Christ is out here, and we're trying to focus on Christ. But if our minds are in autofocus, man, we're getting all caught up on all these distractions that are out there. Work, problems at home, children doing this and that, whatever it might be. They're distractions that take us away from being able to focus. But then there's what's called a manual focus, where you focus yourself. And I'm telling you, I've tried it 100 different ways. If I'm shooting through a hole in brush, autofocus is not going to do it. Guarantee it. Not unless you got this one little bitty dot where you can get it away from all the distractions and you can focus in on what you want to focus on. And what I'm talking about now, you need to focus on Jesus Christ. What I have to do is I reach up there and flick the little switch to manual. Then I can focus it in and hope that my eyes aren't going to deceive me. And that's sometimes I have to do that with my own mind. Is I have to remember, okay, I've got to put everything aside. And I've got to focus on Christ wants me to do. I've got to focus on how to get to the end, which to me is heaven, eternal life. Because if I don't put everything out of the picture, I can't seem to get the light of Christ to come in the way that I know He wants it to. Because I've got these other things that are messing with my focus. You know, distracting me from being able to focus in on Christ, who should be the center point of my life. I'm a worrier. I hate it. But I worry about retirement. I worry about this. I worry about that. And it's like, that's a lack of faith, and I know it is. Because I've talked about this before. I need to give Christ my all. I need to just give Him everything, because I know that He's going to guide my life in a good way to where He wants it to be. But yet I want control. I want those reins in my hand, and I want to guide my life this way, and I want to guide my life that way. I'm working on it. I'm working on my focus. Not only in my mind and my spiritual life, but I'm also working on it with my camera. Because both of them frustrate me. Is when I get off track in my spiritual life, I can feel it. And I need to get back on it. And my wife, Lana, can detest that. I'll look at a picture and she'll say, "Oh, that's real good." And I said, "No, it's not. The focus is here, not here." And she doesn't care. It drives me nuts. And it also kind of drives me nuts when I know that I am getting off track with my spiritual life, which is good, because I have a conscience that says, "Mark, you need to get back on track." I hope you're not like me. I hope you all can stay focused on the prize at the end. You can stay focused on Christ. And verse 11 says, "Behold, I have given unto you the commandments. Therefore, keep my commandments." I think that's part of enduring to the end, is keeping Christ's commandments. We know what they are. We've got them written down. We read them. If we don't understand them, we should try to understand them. What's he really talking about? You know, why doesn't he want me to hate my enemies? And I've got this. That one's a hard for me, and probably hard for you too. We got this terror group out there called ISIS. I'm going to kill them all. But Christ says I need to pray for my enemies. I don't know if that's exactly what he's talking about or not, but it's that's an enemy. Enemies we might have at work also. Maybe we don't call them enemies, but there's those people that I think Paul had that followed him around that just drive him nuts. You know, I don't know where the scripture's at, but he talks about it. Some of them following him around. You know, there's people in our lives, and I think they're I have this belief that everybody that comes into my life is not by coincidence. It's there for some reason I may not understand why. I know sometimes it's, Mark, you really need to work on your social skills because you need to be nice to this person. That's one of our commandments. You know, and when I am not that way, it's darkness. It's not shining the light that Christ wants me to shine. And I'm not doing what I need to be doing. It's being that light for Jesus Christ, that candlestick. It says, keep my commandments. I have given you my commandments, therefore keep my commandments. John 14:15, I'm just going to read it because that's the only one I'm going to use out of there right now. Jesus says, if you love me, keep my commandments. Do we love Christ? I'd say, yeah, we do. Then we need to keep his commandments. Got to know what they are. We got to know what they say the Beatitudes are, which is, I mean, I'm not going to try to round them off there, but the Beatitudes are the way that we should, our personality should be like that. I'm not a real good with literature either, vocabulary, but when I look at those things, you know, where it says that we need to be meek, we need to be kind, you know, we need to be thoughtful, we need to be all these things that would make up the greatest person in the world if somebody was like that day in and day out. Don't you want to be around somebody that's like that, that's cheerful and has those attributes of the Beatitudes, the ought to be attitudes, I've heard somebody say once. They got it. Do they have down times? I'm sure they do. But their focus, I believe, is on Jesus Christ and being that light. Matthew 14. Matthew 14, I'm going to start at verse 25. Jesus had, they had just fed the 5,000. He'd finished his discourse with the people and he'd sent them away. And Jesus sent his disciples on across the sea. And he was alone, stayed behind. And in the fourth watch, which is, what, between 3 and 6 in the morning, if I remember right, the way the Romans had it broke up, I hope I'm right. Anyway, it was really late, or really early, depending on how you look at it, depending on if you're a morning person or not. I'm a morning person most of the time, so I might be up at 3 in the morning. But it was late, and they'd been rowing, and they were out there, and all of a sudden they see an image on the sea as it's walking on the sea, and they don't know it's Jesus yet, so they're scared. Because in verse 25 it says, "And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them, walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, It is a spirit. And they cried out for fear. But straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, Be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid." Is there anybody out there afraid of Jesus? I don't think so. I think you might be afraid of your sin that you feel condemned by because of Jesus and the commandments that he has. Boy, I know I did it one time. I still do it occasionally. Boy, when he flipped on that conscience switch in me at one time, man, I hated it because I knew what I was. Kind of a funny thing. Somebody asked me once, what was I before a Christian? And I looked at him, I said, a heathen. And they kind of went backwards. I said, no, I'm telling you the truth. Because I was. Be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid. And Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the sea. And he said, come. And Peter was come down out of the ship. He walked on the water to go to Jesus. His focus was on Jesus. He had put aside all the distractions that are out there. That if his mind was flipped onto autofocus, the waves and everything that was there would distract him. But at that point, he had his eye singular on Jesus Christ. And he was walking on the sea. He could have done anything at that point. His focus was right there. I've had very few experiences to where my focus was so much on Christ that it was just like I was in it was a different realm. Mainly at baptism. You know, and he said, come. And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. He had that faith because he was focused so much on Christ that didn't matter to him. He just stepped out of the boat. But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid. And beginning to sink, and he cried, saying, Lord, save me. He'd switched it over to autofocus, and all the waves that were going on, and the boisterous sea was around him and stuff, and he lost focus on Jesus Christ, and he started to sink. And that's what happens to me. And that's probably going to be what happens to you all too. When you lose your focus on Jesus Christ, when you let all the distractions that are out there, the internet, the work, you know, all the things that Satan has out there to try to distract us and to get our attention away from Christ, they're there. When you lose that, we start to sink. And when we do, we need to cry out for the Lord to save us. And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him and said unto him, O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? I was going to ask why we're that way and we doubt sometimes, or at least me. But as soon as I thought that just a second ago, the scripture came into my mind that we're an enemy to God. If we're in the flesh. You know, Thomas doubted. You know, he had to feel Christ, the scars and such in his side. But you know, that's what testimonies are for, I think, at least for me. Because when I let that little seed of doubt get in my mind, when I lose my complete focus on Jesus Christ, which it's kind of easy for me to do, I hate to say it, because I'm a warrior. When I let that seed of doubt get in there, I can look back on the personal testimonies that I have, and I can remember testimonies that I've heard from you guys, and I can say, no, I know this stuff's true. I know it's not fables. I know that Christ lives. And I need those to keep me focused. Because doubt does come to me at times, not very much, not anymore. But occasionally it pops up. You know, I think, is this all real or is this just a waste of my time? You know, is death the end of it? You know, I haven't seen heaven. I haven't really seen Christ. I haven't seen God. I've seen His works, and that's what faith is. Leslie talked about faith last week. And do we believe? I have to say, yeah, I do believe. Because I've seen the evidences of the substance that is Christ and God in the spiritual world. It's there. I can't doubt it. I can't say it's not, or I'd be a liar. But there are times I still have to cry out, you know, Lord, save me. I'm going to close with probably Luke 6. Luke 6, I'm going to start at verse 46. Some places this has been termed the wise and foolish builders. Jesus speaking here again, and he says, and why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? Do we call Christ Lord? Is he the Lord of Lords? Is he our personal Lord in our life? And if he is, why do we call him Lord? Because it's out of respect, and he is Lord. He's the ruler of our lives. He has the authority to do anything he wants. He's been given all authority in heaven and earth. And if he's the ruler of my life, he deserves to be called Lord. But if I'm going to call him Lord and I want him to be the Lord of my life, because he asks the question, if you call me Lord, why don't you do the things that I say? Why don't you follow my commandments that you have before you? He's asking him a question. I don't have a good answer sometimes on why I don't do it. Because I want him to be the Lord of my life. But when I looked at this earlier today, and says, you know, and this is me, it's when I read that, it's like Jesus was talking. He says, if you call me Lord, because I've heard you say that I'm Lord of Lords, King of Kings, and Lord of Lords, then why don't you do the things I say? And I was hurt. Because I don't always do the things that he says. Whosoever cometh to me and heareth my sayings and doeth them, I will show you to whom he is like. He is like a man which built an house and digged deep and laid the foundation on a rock. And when the flood arose, the stream beat vehemently upon that house and could not shake it, for it was founded upon a rock. It was solid. I mean, they built that thing to withstand the 1,000-year hurricane. Because they dug deep. They found a firm foundation to where it wouldn't sink, and those flooding waters that were rushing by wouldn't swirl around and be able to dig down to the foundation to where it had nothing to stand on. You might say it was rock solid because it was founded upon Jesus Christ. 49. But he that heareth and doeth not is like a man that without a foundation built a house upon the earth, against which the stream did beat vehemently, and immediately it fell. And the ruin of that house was great. You've seen if you watch TV, you know, or you've heard or you've seen it somewhere, because we've had a lot of floods lately. And these floods, you've seen houses going down the stream. It must not have been built on a good foundation. You've got people that build houses on cliffs and wonder why it starts crumbling away. You got a good view, but you don't have a very good foundation. But spiritually speaking, we need to build it on the gospel of Jesus Christ. We need to build our spiritual foundation on the commandments that he asks, why don't we do what he says? You know, are we going to be a wise builder or not? Are we going to have a good, found, strong date? Yeah. A good, solid foundation? Or are we going to have one that's weak? Because I'm not a historian by no means, but I can see pieces falling into place that I've read about in the scriptures, that's not going to be a real nice time. And I think it's coming sooner or later. I know it is because I believe the scriptures. You know, I don't know when it is. Don't know how far away it is. But I know one thing. Every day is one day closer. Just like the end of our life. Every day is one day closer. So why are we going to wait? Are we going to wait to start building our spiritual foundation on good solid ground, good solid learning that we have before us? Or are we going to be like some I see that, you know, well, everything's beautiful, you know, it's just life, you know, this it just happens, you know, we're just going through life. I don't worry about nothing. But it's not because they have their eye on Christ. It's because they don't have their eye on Christ. I don't know when things are going to happen, but when you look at current events, things are falling into place. Our country is going away from God. It's a fact. It's happening. The world is beginning to be a darker place because the light's not there like it should be. And we're going to have to be able to look through the brush and focus on what's behind all the distractions and all the things that are coming our way, and focus on Jesus Christ and keep our focus there. Because that's the only way that I'm going to endure to the end, is to keep my focus on Jesus Christ. I hope I've made sense to you. I hope I haven't made anybody feel bad, because I wouldn't have done it anyway. That would be your conscience. But, you know, we got to keep the focus, you know. We have to keep our lenses clean, and we have to keep everything working right within us as we should with our camera equipment, so we can have those nice, clean pictures of eternity in our head, because that's where our focus is, and we need and keep the commandments. Thank you.